And then we have Deborah Anafarian. She's been a previous guest on the show, friend of the show, friend of our organization. She is with Helping the Behaviorally Challenging Child, and she is a huge fan of yours, Dr. Delahook. She asks, how and when will the neuroscience of the 1990s get to the curriculum in universities for teachers and clinicians to learn about this much needed information about behaviors? Is it even the continuing education for educators, service providers? A lot of times us passionate parents and coaches know more than the professionals, and they feel challenged instead of enlightened when we're talking about these kiddos. Definitely. And we hear that a lot in the school system. Thoughts on that? It's a big loaded question.
No, it just says it all right there. I mean, truly, paraprofessionals, coaches, parents, those of us, folks at Stowell, those of us who have integrated or are trying to integrate into our practice the new information, which truly, if you think about the 1990s, that was a long time ago. But let's be honest, system change does take forever. The education system is very firmly planted in behavioral sciences. And so I have hope, because I'm seeing, and another reason that I wrote Brain Body Parenting is that I think that system change gets driven by parents and gets driven by passionate people who are saying, no, this isn't okay. So if you are a professional or a parent and you see things happening to your child in a situation where you believe that they're not being treated with the compassion they deserve based on relational neuroscience, speak up. But on the hopeful side, I've been very happy to find out that my book Beyond Behaviors is in quite a few different university settings for like speech pathologists and teachers and in graduate school settings. So I think that as we disseminate this information, the systems are going to have no choice but to listen to it. And I was involved in a wonderful group in Seattle Public Schools, where parent-driven organizations are having trainings, and teachers and administrators are joining in on the trainings. So I see a wave starting. It's not cresting yet, but I see a wave starting. So thanks for the question, and have hope. It's on the horizon.
We have time for one question from Carla. Thank you so much. My input as a parent has improved since I'm following your webinars and presentations. Aww. Any thoughts on those kids that are very distracted, zoning out, immersed in their own thoughts? That is definitely affecting their learning. Most of the time, the intervention is only redirection.
Oh, thank you, Carla. Thank you for your kind words. And so grateful that my work is resonating with parents. And this is a really good question. And of course, every single child is unique. And so there would be, I'd be interested in exploring underneath the tip of that iceberg of the inattention and of kind of the wandering and redirection. I agree. It's not that effective. Like, pay attention, honey, you know. But here's some general thoughts on my mind. We know that kids and adults tend to focus their attention on things that they're more interested in. So one thing might be not to change the child, but to change the material that the child is exposed to. Maybe make it more juicy, more interesting, more something along the lines that the child's affect or feeling system is kind of getting excited about. So we can think about the curriculum and the type of activity that the child is being asked to do and wonder if that's a good fit. The other piece is what we were just talking about, and I don't know how old the child is, but playful exchanges and adding play to your learning is a super charging way to learn. So I think we have to just be more creative. Another idea is, again, using the child's sensory preferences to include in that presentation of the material is, and I'm sure you all are experts at this at STOL, is like, is there auditory? What kind of sounds, what kind of smells, what kind of music in the background, mm-hmm. what kind of movement does the child need? So we really want to engage the sensory systems for maximum attention.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
When you think about that idea of the drifting off of attention, that is also a kind of movement. And there's a reason for that. And so, you know, as you were saying, digging under that and looking and trying to figure out what is it that's triggering that.
That's a great point, Jill. That is a type of movement. It absolutely is. Everything is a type of movement. So thank you for bringing that in. That's so true.